Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I want to play a little game here. Peter, Zach, you up for a little game?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
All right, so I'm going to spit out statements. And I want you to tell me when I say something you disagree with. Something I get wrong. Okay? These are not really facts. Like, I'm not going to say, hey, Steph Curry is averaging 34.5 points on 58% shooting in his last 10 games. It's better than Michael Jordan's best 10-game stretch. I'm not going to spit out facts like that, okay? I'm going to spit out opinions. So you tell me when I get something wrong. Ndamukong Suh has a Super Bowl ring. He finally got one. Saw him with the Super Bowl trophy after the Lombardi trophy was handed to the Buccaneers. He's 34. He did an interview with Sports Illustrated. He said he wants to stay in Tampa. He wants to have an opportunity to go win another championship. The Bucs will be favorites in the NFC probably, throughout the offseason. He said that he believes he can play up to 5 more years. Ndamukong Suh is a Hall of Famer. Buying or selling?
I'm buying that.
Yeah, I'm buying it. Yeah, his impact on the game, I'm buying it.
All right, here's another one that I'm going to say. Oregon State's Research Stadium Project is the best idea Oregon State has had. Nick Daschle of the Oregonian. There's been some blowback on campus from some faculty members who don't get that, you know, a $50 million donation anonymously for the project is money that the donor wanted earmarked for the project, and they're squawking about it. I understand this is everybody's got challenges, but what do you make of some faculty members at Oregon State not being comfortable with this?
Well, I mean, has there ever been a really big athletic project that there hasn't been some blowback from the faculty? I mean, there's going to be some faculty that just don't see the value in what, prominent athletics brings to a university. There's plenty of evidence out there that says, it does bring in donations. There's also some that I guess is out there that's counter to that, but it's not surprising. I mean, when there was a group that went to the faculty senate meeting, a month ago or so, and presented what they were planning on doing, the faculty said, I think there were some people in the faculty senate wanted the west side just to sit and wither and die. They didn't see the value in spending any money on it at all. And I understand. I mean, it's a lot of money. But I think the fact that they're adding, the health center, I think the health center is a big deal. It's a bigger deal to me than a lot of people, I think. I don't understand why Oregon State doesn't have a 24/7 health facility on campus right now. And I think that's the case at a lot of schools. kids never get sick at night or on weekends, do they? To me, that's a big deal. So at least they're, putting the stadium to use more than 6 or 7 Saturdays a year for the money. And I think it's worth it.
I hear a lot of people talking about the downsizing of the stadium. They'll say right sizing. It's downsizing. They're removing seats. They will have a smaller number of seats available, less inventory. Which is probably good. They had a bunch of inventory available over on the east side of the stadium still. But can you make it ends meet with 37 or 38 or 39,000 seats? Or what do they have to do there?
Well, sure. If they can make the experience better, they can sell those seats for a lot more money. And, I mean, let's face it, 10 years from now, today, the attendance isn't what it was 10 years ago. And 10 years from now, it won't be what it is today. People are not going to games because the TV experience is just too good. and you know all the variable times and all those things. So, yeah, you just have to figure out ways to make that seat worth more. And you know, if you got a good football team, then all of a sudden it's a, you know, a tougher ticket, and you've got a way to, you know, extract more money out of people that way as well. But I mean, when the day comes when Oregon's got to do something to their stadium or any of these Pac-12, everybody's going to downsize. There's no reason to add more seats or even keep the same number of seats that you have now. It just doesn't make any sense.
Nick Daschle of the Oregonian with us. There's been some talk, you know, yesterday about Gonzaga and BYU potentially not playing in their conference tournament. The Pac-12, would they consider something like that? Would they tell Oregon and USC and UCLA, hey, you know, all you're doing is risking injury and infection. Sit this out. Let's give the automatic bid to whoever wins the tournament. But you three teams sit home. You're going to get at-large berths anyway to the NCAA tournament. Would that be on the table here?
I can't envision the conference telling the teams that. I mean, that's got to be a school decision. But I'm kind of wondering where the NCAA is going to sit on this, because I mean, let's say a bunch of conferences are missing, you know, 2, 3, 4 of their best teams. Can you just give out automatic berths to teams that probably, you know, some of them just wouldn't deserve it otherwise and wouldn't win that bid, you know, if the good teams were in the tournament? I mean, at that point, you know, some of the teams that thought they were in might not be in if you get enough teams, you know, that win their conference tournaments that take up some of those bids. So, I mean, yeah, and I expect there's going to be some Pac-12 teams that are on the fence as far as wanting to play in the tournament because of all the, you know, the protocols put in place. You know, you have to stay in Vegas until the NCAAs and all, you know, this other stuff that's going to be, and you don't want to, you know, Who's to say what Vegas is like, you know, during tournament week? I'm sure they're going to bubble them up, but I mean, they're 21-year-old, you know, young adults. They don't want to be cooped up in their hotel for a week, and it's going to be tough to keep them under a bubble.
Nick Daschle of the Oregonian is with us. How many teams do you see in the Pac-12 men's bracket that could win the tournament? At what point would you be, I'm shocked that so-and-so won it? How deep is that field of teams that you think, hey, they got a shot?
Yeah, it's pretty deep this year just because there's nobody that sticks out. The only exception might be Oregon, you know, just that they can get it going here late in the year and how they tend to, you know, get hot late in the year. But I don't even know if they have enough time to get it going just based on what they've gone through. I mean, I think you got to toss Washington. Boy, everybody else, it just depends. Because, I mean, UCLA has been vulnerable. USC doesn't always show up. You know, Colorado has laid eggs this season. You know, California has beaten some good teams. They haven't won many games. They've beaten some good teams. I mean, it's tough to win 4 games in a row regardless who you are. But, I mean, it's as deep as you, I would say you could go probably 9 deep. Oregon State winning 4 straight games, it'd be tough. Cal, Washington State, but I wouldn't rule them completely out this year because I think they're all capable of beating anybody in the tournament. It's just a matter of whether they could pull it off on, you know, 3 or 4 straight games.
There was a point of this season where I was watching Wayne Tinkle in Oregon State and wondering how warm his seat was getting. And he responded to that by reeling off some victories and sort of righting the ship. Is Wayne Tinkle safe in your mind without question? And what pivoted there? What happened where Oregon State suddenly started competing and winning games?
Well, they started figuring out themselves their identity, which has got to be at the defensive end. That's where they're better. This is not a gifted offensive team, and so they've got to win games down at the defensive end, and that's how they won some of these games. Is he safe? Yeah, I think he is. Next year is a huge year because he's got 2 years left on his deal. You can't really go into a year, I don't think, in the Pac-12 with a coach with a 1-year contract. So next year's got to be a pivot point. You know, is the program viable under Wayne Tinkle long term or not? I think that's a decision that'll have to be made after the 21-22 year. And you know, at that point, they either have to extend him or decide to move on to another coach. So, you know, next year I think is the big year. But I think he's good for this year.
And it's interesting too. Like, you know, you can sort of see the trend, the young players in the program, the recruiting that he does. Do you feel hopeful about Oregon State next year, 2 years from now, if Wayne Tinkle's that guy?
I you know, some of the guys that they're bringing in, the Memphis transfer's been on campus since January, and he's supposedly, you know, the best athlete on the team. They're bringing in a point guard that is a point guard they haven't really had since maybe, you know, Gary Payton too. So they've got some guys coming in, and I like some of the young players they've got on this roster. They won't have Ethan Thompson more than likely. I mean, all these guys could come back. I don't think Ethan is going to. I don't think Zach Reichel's going to come back. But I think everybody else is. And you know, Jaron Lucas has proven that, you know, when he can get his shot off, he can make it. And he's got a lot of confidence. So I think they're pretty set in the backcourt with the new point guard and Gianni Hunt and Jaron Lucas. And yeah, they need to develop some guys. If Warith Alatish can develop more of an offensive game, I think he's a real threat too. So, I mean, I think they're a better team next year, but you know how that plays out, you know, who's to say, because it's hard to say what everybody else is going to look like next year at this point.
The quarterback position at Oregon State, I think, is going to be an ongoing thing, and you probably don't have this answer, but that, you know, I'm curious to see what Jonathan Smith will do. Will he develop a guy that, you know, in the mold of the quarterbacks that we have seen come through Oregon State, from the Sean Mannion to the Derek Andersons to, you know, the guys that have come through and gone on to the NFL, Matt Moore. Will Jonathan Smith have that kind of passer in his system?
Well, I mean, in Tristan Jebbia and Ben Gulbranson, those are the prototypical Oregon State quarterbacks that Jonathan's had, Mike Riley had. Chance Nolan is the outlier. And I think his skills intrigue, you know, Brian and Jonathan to some degree. So, I mean, I don't think he's, you know, married to doing what they're doing, but I think he knows it works. And if Chance Nolan shows that he can do something to elevate the position, I definitely think they would be down with playing a dual threat quarterback. But he'd have to prove that way of doing it is better.
Yeah, I also think, like, you know, the identity, so much of the identity of Jonathan Smith becomes about the quarterback, but the questions, I think, largely have been on the defensive side of the ball for Oregon State. Will they be better defensively next season?
Hard to say, because, I mean, it all, you know, not breaking any news here, it all starts up front, and you know, they've got some okay defensive linemen, but do they have a guy that can really take over in the middle of the line? I mean, that's hard to say at this point. And I don't know where Jordan Whitley, you know, I don't know if he's playing, that if he's going to be a player next year or not. You know, they're pretty good on the edges. Their linebackers are pretty solid in the middle. The secondary is still young and in flux because they've lost some guys, and some of the guys they were counting on were JC transfers that, you know, didn't exactly pan out this year. So, I mean, yeah, that's going to be something that we're going to be watching a lot in the next, you know, 9 to 8, 9, 10 months, is, you know, how this defense evolves. And, you know, from that, it, you know, then, you know, we'll see what they, you know, if they'll decide that, you know, what Tim Tibisar is doing is the answer, or whether they need to get another, you know, fresh approach or not. You know, this is a big year for the defense. They got to take a step forward, because I'm not 100% sure they did this year, but you kind of have to give them a little bit of a pass this year just because of all the COVID stuff. And it's, you know, it's hard to make a lot of judgments on what happened this year.
Just a few minutes ago, as you were coming on the show, Portland State announced that they're going to take their 2020 football season, and they're just going to play the 2020 season in 2021. So Portland State will play Hawaii and Washington State, and then it'll have its conference games that were scheduled last year will now take place this next coming football season. We're all waiting for the Pac-12 to issue their schedule. We assume it'll be out in the next couple weeks. But, Dashiell, when that schedule does come out, what are you looking at? What are your eyes going to first on Oregon State's schedule?
Oh, I don't have it right in front of me. It threw me a curveball there, so I can't remember how many teams they're playing this next year. I'd like to know if they're going to play all three of their non-conference games to start the year, before they get into conference. Cause I think it's a doable, non-conference schedule. They've got, if I remember right, they open with Purdue and then they play, I'm just getting it up here so I know what I'm talking about, which is hard to believe. At Purdue, Hawaii, and Idaho. I mean, those are three games. Purdue is not one of the Big Ten powers. Hawaii is a team, they should be able to beat, and Idaho is definitely a team they should beat. And according to their schedule at the moment, that's how they're starting the season, with those three before they get into any conference games. So if that's true, I mean, a 3-0 start isn't out of the question. And at that point, you just need to win three of your nine. Now, they only have four home games this next year. And they don't have Arizona on the schedule, which is, somewhat unfortunate, because you kind of want to play the worst team in the league if you're looking for wins. But, so I'm looking just to make sure they're playing those non-conference games, first, so they can get off to the best start possible.
Nick Dashiell, you're the best. I appreciate you, my friend.
All right, we'll see you.
There's Nick Dashiell talking football, Oregon State in particular. For those interested, I think he's right to think about the non-conference games, because Portland State's having an issue. They will play non-conference games to open their season, 2021 season, at Hawaii. Then in week two, they'll go to Washington State. Week three, they're open right now, but they're looking for a non-conference game. Part of that is probably Portland State waiting for the Pac-12 to kind of figure out their schedule. Will Oregon or Oregon State be able to fit them into September 18th? Keep an eye on that. In the meantime, Lewis in West Lynn is called in. Lewis, you got power?
Oh, yeah. I'm one of the lucky ones. But, when Dashiell talks crazy, I about drive off the road, I tell you.
What happened? What do you say?
You can't compete as a major Power 5 conference and downsize your schedule. Who are you going to get to come play you? You'll never get Ohio State. You'll never get even Indiana to come out west to play you in a 45,000-seat stadium. This is what, you get mad at Larry Scott for not thinking big. Right there, that's not thinking big. And if they did that, I'd kick them out of the conference.
Yeah, but, Washington State has done the same thing with Martin Stadium. Washington State has said, look, we're not trying to bring Ohio State or even, Michigan or anybody else to our home stadium. We're not going to do that. We're not going to play that kind of non-conference schedule. Scott Barnes is saying, look, our model is we want to play a Power 5 opponent, but we don't want to play the Ohio States of the world. We'll play the Oklahoma States of the world. So I think the model at Oregon State is very much what Washington State is doing. And if you look at Washington State's schedule, they got a home-and-home with Wisconsin, even though their stadium will be at about 35 or 38,000 in capacity. Oregon State has an inventory problem in their stadium right now. They've got a stadium that is too large. You have fan bases that are shrinking. There's an attendance problem across college football. Everybody's having it. Alabama's having it. Michigan was having it. Ohio State was having it. Everybody was down prior to the pandemic and had seen sort of the trend towards smaller stadiums or downsizing evolving. Now, there's only one university in the Pac-12 that is actually expanding their stadium. It's Utah. And the Utah fans are looking around Salt Lake, as I've pointed out, and they're going, there's nothing to do here. Let's go to the football game. But that's not happening elsewhere. So what Oregon State's going to have to do in their 38 or 39,000-seat stadium is they're going to have to look to bring in, your non-conference schedule might look like, Kansas State Colorado State, you know, Portland State in your non-conference games, and then you play your conference schedule. They're also going to have to take loge seats, premium seats, club-level seats, and the suite level on the new side of the stadium, and they're really going to have to get maximum value for that space. I sort of support the idea of downsizing here. If you're not filling your stadium, if you're not creating enough of a demand, and frankly, I think even if Oregon State were winning games, 50,000-plus seats is too many for Reser Stadium. It just is in today's world. I did the story 2 years ago about the Pac-12 and the attendance problem that the Pac-12 was having in their stadiums. Stanford downsized. Cal downsized. Everybody was looking, and they call it right-sizing. I'm not going to play that game. They're downsizing the stadium, and they're essentially saying, look.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.